Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for SportsNet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors bounce back in a big way. I mean, you expect them to, really. The Kings are tremendously bad. I'm genuinely surprised they have six wins. They did not play like a team that has six wins tonight. They were booed off the floor as the Raptors demolished them by a score of 108-89. This game was not close after the first quarter. The Kings were able to score a little bit. They're able to get downhill. Harrison Barnes was at the free throw line like for 10 minutes of the first quarter, it felt like. But the Raptors just pulled away from them. Their bench was great. Finally, we got a great performance from the bench. Don't even look at the plus minuses because there was also a stretch in the fourth quarter where the Raptors were slow to score. But the Raptors in the second and third quarters just blowing the doors off the Kings. The second unit did a great job of getting the Raptors the lead. The starters closed it out. Fred hit a ridiculous leaning, banking jumper to end the half. Great bit of confidence sending me into the half. Third quarter, how are the Raptors going to respond? Pascal Siakam comes out, nails two threes, another mid-range jumper. Kings got to call timeout. And the Raptors just rolled them. They're up 30 heading into the fourth quarter. Raptors didn't score more than 2 points for like the first 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. And the Kings were able to get that thing all the way down to 21. It was that kind of effort. But seriously, though, it was a very professional win by the Raptors, who obviously have been underperforming of late. Their defense has been really, really, really bad. And today, of course, the Kings, you know, they did shoot really poorly from three. 24%, but at the same time, the Raptors did such a better job of collapsing the middle, taking away the paint, and then forcing the Kings into difficult moves. And the Raptors just did a much better job collapsing tonight. Their paint defense was really strong. I think some of that is going, you know, is the personnel. The Raptors went with a bigger lineup tonight. It felt like they were ridiculously big when they went to the bench at times, and but part of that also just comes down to, like, how much do you want it, you know? Like, and I think there's just a few guys for the Raptors tonight that really set the tone. I thought Cam Birch, even though, you know, he, the 10 points and the 9 rebounds, and I thought he just set the tone for this team so well. I mean, first off, I think Cam took the first charge of the season for the Raptors. It was in a third quarter stretch where he blocked shots, he was stealing the ball, he was doing everything. 4 steals, 2 blocks for Cam tonight. Dunking the ball, putbacks, everything, right? Offensive rebounds. It was such a great effort by the Raptors tonight. You know, whether that was Kem in the starting five, whether that was Precious and Boucher in the second unit, the two of them provided a lot of rebounding, a lot of rim protection, just a lot of like second chance efforts on the offensive glass, you know, the extra efforts to rotate and close out at the basket. It was just a much, much better effort from the Raptors, who obviously have been struggling, right? Like, it's been really sluggish to see this team. And, you know, the Raptors have actually been on the other side of this, where other teams were struggling, were able to play the Raptors and sort of stop their skid, you know, like Portland, for example. And finally, the Raptors get to do that to someone else. Like, the Kings are just tremendously bad. I mean, there was a report out there that Luke Walton's in trouble, quite honestly. He should be. He's not a very good coach. But you even saw the way he played it tonight. I mean, he benched all of his starters for the fourth quarter. I mean, to be fair, they were down 30, so, you know, you can ride it out. But, yeah, it's a tough look for Sacramento. But seriously, though, it was a great game for the Raptors, starting especially with Pascal Siakam, who obviously had a really bad performance against Utah. There was no way to really cut that up. I think defensively there were lapses. Offensively, he was inefficient. I mean, you know, 4 points on 2 of 14 shooting. That was not good enough. But tonight, Pascal Siakam bounced back in a huge way. In fact, actually, I wrote in the 10 things because, you know, I wrote in the 10 things. Like, you know what? It's a pretty good chance here that Pascal bounces back against the Kings. A, he plays well against the Kings. Last year, he went to Sacramento when the Raptors went there. I think he had like 37. You know, a lot of players play well against the Kings, but the Kings especially have poor rim protection and also not a lot of great defensive forwards. In fact, I don't think they have a single one. Maybe Harrison Barnes, he's good, but I don't know. This is just not a defensive outfit in the slightest. But I just thought, look, you know, this is just going to happen. It's going to be up and down as he sort of fully recovers. And today, everything Pascal tried, it worked. Everything. I mean, this is one of the most efficient games of his career. And I would say it's only the second most efficient because of what he did in game one of the NBA Finals. 14 of 17 shooting for 32 points, I believe, against Draymond Green as the Raptors won game one of the NBA Finals. It's a pretty good game. But this one, 32 points, 10 of 12 shooting, 3 of 3 from the three-point line, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. It's just like straight A's across the board. That's ridiculous. He got 32 points on 12 field goal attempts. Obviously, he was getting downhill. The Kings struggled to handle him one-on-one. But it was just when you watch this game, the confidence, the swagger that he moved with, it was tremendous. One move that he made in the third quarter, left-to-right crossover, you know, see what Harrison Barnes can do with it. Got into the spot at the elbow, spin move at the elbow, into a fadeaway jumper, and then cashes the mid-range shot. I mean, it was that kind of night for Pascal. Nailed a number of jumpers, right? I mean, when he got to the rim, he mostly got fouled. But the three-point shot, it was dropping. Obviously, the timing of the three-point shot also matters because coming out of the first half, the Raptors could have, you know, eased off. They had taken control of that game. But, you know, you always want to, when you come out of that first half and you're starting the third quarter, you always want to be the team that forces the other team into calling that early timeout. And we've seen the Raptors do it a few times. I thought they did it against Utah, for example. Utah came out last night and they banged in a couple threes and Nick Nurse had to call that quick timeout. This time, the exact opposite scenario. The Raptors come out, Pascal nailing two threes. He's hype, getting the chest bump from Gary Trent Jr., who continues to not miss, period. And, yeah, it was just a great scene. And the only thing that, you know, went did not go Pascal's way was that he got elbowed in the paint, had to get three stitches, was bleeding. There was a kind of a gnarly shot of just, like, the blood gushing from his temple down his face, and he had to go get three stitches at halftime. Came back with a Band-Aid, but came back with the same vengeance. And, man, it was great to see him operate in that way. I think that that's something that is not necessarily a reminder, because I don't know if you necessarily need to remind people that you're, like, a fantastic player, and Pascal is a fantastic player. But coming off the injury, of course, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be doubts. I'm sure there'll probably be some doubts and frustrations based on last night's game, right? That was really bad. A lot of criticism everywhere, and rightfully so. When you have 4 points, people are going to criticize you. But then he comes back with this, and this is exactly what he needed. You know, and look, it's going to jump up and down. To be honest, the nature of Pascal's game, because he's more of an inconsistent shooter, although you wouldn't know it tonight. Tonight, he looked like KD in terms of the way he was shooting the ball. Because he's a more of an inconsistent shooter, like, his games just can fluctuate. Like, he took some jumpers against the Jazz, for example, and I don't think any of them dropped outside of one mid-range pull-up. And so, you know, when you're relying on jump shots like that, of course, it's going to hurt you. But I just like the overall way that Pascal attacked this game. It just was so confident. He was so flowing and no fear about anybody out there. Of course, there's no reason to fear anybody out there, really, but just no fear whatsoever. And it just cooked the Kings from start to finish. He was great in the first quarter, great in the second quarter, got cut on the eye, came back for the third quarter, was great then, had 28 points heading into the fourth quarter. The Raptors obviously get into a bit of a lull offensively, and by a bit of a lull, I mean they scored 2 points in 5 minutes. And then Pascal comes back, gets to the 32, gets to the free throw line one last time to get to 10 free throw attempts, and is able to check out after a tremendous night. Just a good night of hard work. And even Pascal defensively, I mean, look, I thought the Kings just didn't play smart. They just kept driving into the paint with no spacing, no sense of like, hey, I'm going to kick this out. It's just kind of like, I'll just get there and then I'll decide what happens. And the Raptors were just were able to close down on them at the rim so often. But I thought Pascal was doing a pretty good job of, in terms of his shot contests at the basket. Like the play where he got cut in the eye, I believe Harrison Barnes elbowed him, and Pascal's able to block him on that play and for one of his two blocks. So it was just a great game for P. To be honest, the only thing that was shaky was when he started the game. He kind of like bobbled the ball a few times and started with two quick turnovers. And I was like, okay, let's sharpen up. But he sharpened up, and the rest of the team did so the same. But I just thought the starting unit was awesome tonight. Just so good. Ken Burch, I already talked about him, but his energy tonight was infectious. I think he set the tone for this team. He's not like a leader on the team necessarily, but at the same time, if you look at, you know, the ages of the group, Kem is in that, you know, that mix with Pascal and with Fred, you know, that, you know, 26, 27, 28 in that group right there. And I thought the way he played tonight, it was awesome. He gave the Raptors just a tremendous shift. I mean, I remember in the offseason, there was a conversation, well, okay, one of the premier free agents was Rashawn Holmes. And, you know, the Raptors ended up signing Ken Burch, and people were like, well, what about Holmes? And, you know, all this other stuff. And look, one game doesn't change anything. Rashawn Holmes is a good player. But at the same time, Ken thoroughly dominated that matchup. Rashawn Holmes, 6 points, 2 of 5 shooting, 3 rebounds and assists, did nothing. Barely saw the ball, really. But Ken, he's just all over the floor. And here's the thing. Not only was he taking the charges, not only was he getting the offensive rebounds, the tap outs, the putbacks, you know, just the rim runs, the floaters, getting to the free throw line, the steals, the blocks. Fourth quarter, Raptors are up 20 points, and the Raptors are still pressuring the ball. They're, I mean, it's like, who's out there? Marvin Bagley, Damian Jones, you know, Buddy Hield, Terrence Davis, like, just end of the bench guys, okay? And the Raptors are up 20, and the Raptors are still pressuring the ball, like, really hard. You know, extending their pressure, a bit of a loose ball. And Kem is diving on the floor against Damian Jones in that situation to try to win possession. Now, he doesn't end up getting it. He actually ends up fouling Damian Jones, whatever. You know, I don't think the Kings scored on that play. But that's the type of effort you saw from Kem tonight. And it was awesome to see. Like, I think his knee looks fresher. But it's just, he's just smart. He's just such a smart player in the middle of that group. I mean, I was having this conversation with a friend, you know, just about, hey, who on the Raptors, you know, sticks to their role, plays within their role every single game. And Kem is undeniably the guy who does the best job of sticking to his role. And, of course, he's limited, but at the same time, the passion that he played with tonight was awesome. Like, he's going to get one of the stars for me. Like, I'm just telling you that right off the bat. So Kem was great. I thought Gary was really sharp in the first half. Like, he was making every jumper. I mean, he's just been red hot of late. If you take out the first like 2-3 games of the season where pretty much nobody shot well, I mean, he's damn near 20 points per game, like every night. And of course, a lot of it is jumpers, but like, he's just making everything. There's a play in the third quarter where the Kings actually got up into him. I forget who was switched on him, one of the bigs, maybe even Marvin Bagley, was just like pressuring Gary. You know, deflected the ball. He just kept dribbling. He was on the right side of the floor, tried to make a move, got stripped, collected the ball, kept dribbling, went to the opposite baseline. And with a hand in his face, just tossed up like a baseline 20-footer and like swish. No net, nothing. Or no rim, nothing. Just swish. Like, that's the kind of the kind of heater that Gary Trent is on right now. And that's been great to see. Of course, the defense was strong too. A few gambles, definitely a few gambles tonight. But you know, I think that his activity on the ball is just making kind of players think twice a little bit. Like, he's just always into the ball. And although he didn't come up with a steal tonight, definitely a lot of deflections. Maybe a little unlucky to not come up with some steals. But he was great. And even Fred, I thought, look. The weird thing with Fred tonight was the turnovers. There was a couple of plays where it just didn't feel like he was, like, the most focused. You know, passes sort of sailing out of bounds. Him and Scotty miscommunicating on that. Just a simple pass to the corner where I think Fred wanted to short the pick and roll because they initially covered the pass over the top to Kem. He wanted to go to the corner so that Scotty could then hit Kem on the roll. But, Scott, you know, there was a miscommunication. The ball flies out of bounds. There's an eight-second violation where Davion Mitchell, the Kings lottery pick, which, by the way, man, you got to do better than Davion Mitchell as your lottery pick, but whatever. The Kings are hard. They elude reason, really. It's hard to explain something that cannot be rationally. Yeah. Anyway, so Fred, I mean, yeah, he's the one thing that Mitchell does well, though, is that he pressures the ball. He's really into the ball. That's his reputation. It's, you know, like a Patrick Beverley type, which, by the way, I guess if you had a lottery pick, of course you got to go with the Patrick Beverley type when the rest of your team is guards. I don't know. Again, the Kings, I don't understand, but whatever. Okay. Pressures Fred, and Fred gets into a 8-second violation. Just bring the ball up. Like, there was just, you know, small things like that that turned into 7 turnovers. Obviously, Fred is a very, very careful player, usually. Low turnovers is one of the things he does so well. But he's had a couple of games this season where he's had some high number of turnovers. I think there was that game against the Wizards, the first game maybe, or even the second game, one of the Chicago games where he had a high number of turnovers as well. But that was the only thing to nitpick about Fred's game. Otherwise, great plays defensively. He had a stretch where back-to-back steals where it looked like both times the Kings were about to score, Fred strips them and then springs his teammates out on the fast break. Both times. And that's the value of what Fred does. I mean, like, in terms of just what he does defensively, he just has incredible hands. And it's the best part of what Fred does defensively. I mean, the positioning is good. He's strong for his size, very compact, does a great job of navigating screens, plays well off ball, help defense. You know, he knows the system quite well. But the thing that you love most about Fred defensively is the hands. Like, it'll be a situation where Rashawn Holmes is wide over onto the basket for a dunk, and he's going up with the ball thinking, yeah, I got the easy 2 points right here. And then Fred just slaps down at the ball, gets the strip, hits it ahead to Pascal, who gets fouled, splits the pair of free throws. Like, it's those types of plays are demoralizing. Like, you think as you're working so hard on offense, you got your center in the paint who's ready to go up with two hands strong, but Fred's one hand is somehow stronger than that. It's like the palm fist from Kung Fu Hustle. This is the kind of references you get when the reaction pod is at 1 a.m. talking about Kung Fu Hustle. Great movie. Fred was awesome, and I think the best part about Fred's game was the playmaking was really strong. Only 6 assists tonight, but a number of really, you know, smart assists where he's getting into the lane, collapses, draws 3 defenders, you know, sees the corners not open, sees the wings not open, flips it back to over his head to the opposite wing where he's able to find Svi Mihailić spotting off for 3. And it's just a lot of great possessions there where he's setting guys up. And then even though he didn't shoot the ball that efficiently, 5 of 14, it felt like every shot he did make was a backbreaker for the Kings. Like, you know, there's a play where at the end of the first half, Raptors had 5 seconds. The inbound of Fred, he's dribbling, he's got Mitchell all over him, pressured, he's trapped in the corner. You know, what's he gonna do? Goes off 1 foot, fading, leaning off to the corner, and he's able to bank it in right at the buzzer. Just a heartbreaker for the Kings. Just one last sucker punch before they go to stew over in the locker room at halftime. Then when the Kings are, you know, struggling and the Raptors were extending their lead, Fred VanVleet knocking in like a 30-footer from deep. This time off a nice driving kick from Svi. Fred was just great. I thought. I mean, it's weird when you look at the stat line because the 7 steals and 5 of 14 doesn't seem that great, but when you watched it, it was just he came up big in so many big moments. But honestly, the most promising part of this game was the performance of the bench. Like, it felt like the Raptors found something really nice off the bench. Finally, right? Because I don't know if you know this, but this game was almost a borderline miracle because you got guys like Pascal playing 30 minutes, Scotty playing 33, Fred playing 32, Kem playing 23. Like, that has just not been happening because the starters have had to play so many minutes. Every game, they're playing 40 minutes. And, of course, this game, it helps because they're blowing the other team out. Of course, you know, you could rest your guys. Like, the starters largely didn't have to play in the fourth quarter. They only came in for, like, 2 minutes just to sort of, like, hold it down. You know, but the other part of the reason is the bench was actually able to extend the lead. It feels like forever since the Raptors bench has extended the lead. I honestly, if I just had to say at the top of my head when the last time the Raptors bench actually contributed towards a win, I would say it was probably the Boston win, which was their first win of the season when they went on the road to TD Garden, and similar to the game tonight where Sacramento fans, all 6 of them, were booing them off the floor. The Celtics fans were booing the Celtics off the floor. That game, the bench came in and did a really good job. And to be honest, a lot of similar elements in terms of what made the bench successful. The Raptors bench tonight was really solid in the paint. Their length was really strong. So at first, the bench unit was going to be Scotty with the bench. Scotty with four bench players. So it was going to be Chris Boucher, Precious Achiuwa, that was the front court. Delano playing three, although he's more of a one, but he's playing a three. Svi's out there. And then it was Scotty. So just think about that, right? Like, that lineup is huge. That lineup is huge. There's four guys who are 6'9 out there. And then Nick played the lineup for about a minute and realized, well, that's not enough shooting on the floor. Only one shooter. Let's put in Gary instead. So that sacrificed a little bit of size. But I also think that it worked because the thing is, you can have one player that's like maybe not 6'9 because you probably want someone really quick and aggressive on the ball. And I thought when Gary got subbed in, not only was he able to hit a number of big shots for that bench group, which realistically, it's not going to create a lot of offense, but he was able to put so much pressure, even more than usual, on the ball. First off, Gary doesn't end up guarding the ball as much as maybe he should because Fred is playing point, and obviously Fred is great at defense as well. But in that look where it was Gary, Svi, Delano, Chris, and Precious, that was awesome. And Gary was at the point of attack. He was pressuring the ball. Guys were trying to drive inside. Gary was just poking it free. And then on the few times where Gary wasn't able to poke it free or they were able to use a good screen to get, you know, surf guards downhill, the help defense from Precious, from Chris, it was smothering. The Kings could not score. The Raptors, you know, the second unit was just extending the lead. And then you get the Delano putback. You get the Delano, you know, getting ahead in transition. You get Chris Boucher finally knocking down a pick and pop three. It feels like the last one I saw, it was from Tampa. Precious Achiuwa finishing a couple of opportunities on the basket. Although, of course, there are some times where he gets trapped too deep in the paint and he's unable to go up. Svi hitting jumpers and Gary hitting jumpers, like that group defensively, the Kings just had nothing. The second quarter where that group played like 6 minutes, maybe the first 6 minutes of the quarter, the Kings, like they finished that quarter with 18 points. And, you know, I think the Raptors have something good there. Now, the thing is that group is going to struggle to score offensively. It just is, right? It's going to be a lot of Gary ISO, pull-up jumpers. A lot of good teams are going to be able to limit the Raptors offensively. But I like the way the Raptors look defensively. And realistically, my expectations for the bench are not that high right now. So if the bench would just come in and play great defense, like that group is capable of doing, right? Because you have the physicality inside with Chris and Precious. You have the length inside. You have Delano as a three, who's just as tall as any of the centers. And then you have Gary like swarming the ball. I think they should be able to hold down the defense, especially against opposing second units who generally aren't that great offensively. Certainly the Kings second unit was not good tonight, which by the way, I mean, like people want to like trade for these guys. They're like, hey, you know, Rashawn Holmes, pretty decent player. Maybe we sign him. Yeah. Okay. I can see the case. Like, hey, Marvin Bagley, you know, is the distressed asset. He's a former number two pick. Let me get him. Marvin Bagley tonight. It's tough, man. It looked like a left-handed Patrick Patterson. Without the defense, actually. The post-knee injuries version. In any case, though, the Raptors second unit did really well. It really took a lot of pressure off the team. And I think it just brought up better vibes to the team. Like, it's just nice. You know what I haven't seen this season a lot of is the Raptors starters on the bench cheering and getting really hyped for the bench. You know why? Because A, the starters have to play all the time, and B, the bench has given them nothing to be hype about. And tonight, finally, you got to see a lot of that. The energy was great. The team effort was strong. Everybody who came in contributed. And yeah, you know, everyone should be pretty happy with this result. The Raptors beating the Kings 108-89. You know, of course, you're going to see some tougher opposition starting with on Sunday when the Raptors travel to San Francisco to play the Warriors. Still feels a little sacrilegious to not say they're traveling to Oakland to play the Warriors, but whatever. Gentrification happens. But, you know, it's a nice result. It's good to really stop the skid. The Raptors had gone, 1-6 in this stretch here? Like, they just were able to finally get some good results on the board tonight. Pascal was able to break out. And everyone could feel good. So hopefully they can take this formula and extend it to Golden State. Obviously, it's going to be a much different challenge. Golden State, I mean, they rested all their vets. So Steph, Draymond, Iguodala, and they still went into Detroit and beat them. Hurts because the Raptors obviously got beaten by Detroit recently. But I don't know. If the Raptors play with this much defensive intensity, like they could stop a lot of teams. And of course, Golden State is playing like the best team in the league right now. So that's a different challenge. But you know, would it surprise me if the Raptors competed with Golden State though? Not at all. I'm definitely not someone who's going to ever doubt the Raptors against the Warriors after what I saw in the NBA Finals and stuff like that. So in terms of your three stars for tonight's game, first star, obviously Pascal Siakam, 32 points, 10 of 12 from the field, 3 of 3 from the three-point line, 9 of 10 for the free throw line, 8 rebounds, an assist, 2 blocks, plus 19 in 30 minutes, 3 stitches as well. Just such an efficient game from him. Like, it's almost impossible to be more efficient than what he did tonight. But he was so decisive. He was sharp. He was in the mid-range. He was in the three. He was getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, did everything, got everything he wanted. To be honest, the Kings are a team defensively. Like, the Kings should be renamed the they should be called the Sacramento Mandarins, because it's just an all-you-can-eat buffet. Like, you can have whatever you want, however you want it, whenever you want it, and you can go for seconds, thirds, you know. They'll let you have whatever. Like, that's the kind of defense right there. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and Pascal was feasting on these guys. So he gets the first star. Awesome effort. Second star, I'm going to give that Gary Trent. 23 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, a block as well. This might be the first game of the season to have a steal. A little worried about him. Obviously, he's got to stay high in that steals race. But no, it was great. I think the reason I'm giving it to him is because of the shot making that he was able to bring to the second unit, the pressure he was able to put on the ball, guarding their point guards. He did a great job. And yeah, he's just been great of late. Like, he's just really good. Like, every single game, you look in the box score, and Gary's got like 20-plus points. And of course, with OG out, you're going to need some more perimeter creation. And Gary has delivered that. The only thing is, of course, as always, would love if Gary could, you know, make one or two passes. There's a play today where the Kings blitz him, trapped him. He picked up the ball. He was surprised by it. Ken Burch was there on the outlet, and Gary Trent just, like, refused to pass to him. I think he ultimately tried to pass to Scotty, who was, like, along the baseline, maybe kind of stealing his man, but, like, not really in the play. And it might have been a turnover, but listen, there's no reason to pass if you make every jumper. And right now, Gary's definitely hitting every jumper. And then your third star, I mean, it's tough. But, you know, I think for me, I'm going to go with Kem Birch. If anything, Kem could have been the second star for me. He just played so well tonight. 10 points, 9 rebounds. But look at the hustle stats. 4 offensive rebounds, 4 steals, 2 blocks, plus 17 in 23 minutes, 4 of 7 from the field. Got to the free throw line 4 times. Just a great game for Kem. Perfect game. Took a charge. Made the extra passes. Great screens. It's just a smart player. Really, really smart player. And everybody in the starting five can play off of Kem because they know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to set a hard screen. He is going to give you the extra pass. He is going to be short rolling and give you an option if you get trapped. He's just there for you. Like, Kem Birch is like, you know, Kem Birch is like a chaperone. It's like your parents coming to the high school dance. They'll drop you off. They'll drive you there. They make sure you have water. Maybe put some money in your hand. Like, that's Kem. He's just there to take care of everybody. And he did a great job of that tonight. So he's getting the third star. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, I mean, it's tough. For me, I'm probably going to go with Chimezi Metu. But yeah, I don't know. It's not like he actually hurt the Raptors all that much. He had 10 points, 9 rebounds, hit the three, had a really, really nice putback dunk, yelled at the crowd, was getting himself hype. I don't think anybody was yelling back at him because he was down like, you know, 20 points when that happened. But still, I mean, yeah, 10 points, 9 rebounds. That's as good as it got for the Kings tonight. So just a great win for the Raptors. And hopefully they can build on it. They have some positive vibes. They can spend the weekend in, you know, in the Bay, which is there's worse ways to spend a weekend than being in the Bay. So hopefully the Raptors can ride some of this high and go into Golden State with some confidence, because I expect that game to be competitive. I don't know if I expect the Raptors to win because Golden State's doing so well right now, but I expect that game to be competitive, and I expect to see Nick Nurse putting a box in one on Steph, and I expect to see the Raptors come away with something, at least a spirited loss, if not a win. So thanks everyone for listening. Of course, you can catch all episodes of the Reaction Podcast wherever you find podcasts, at the Raptor Show with Will Liu. You can look for that, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you find podcasts. And you can also listen to the Weekend Hour with Alex. He's got some special guests lined up tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern, so make sure you listen to that. And of course, the Daily Show between 2 and 3 p.m. Monday to Friday with myself and Alex Wong. So thanks everyone for listening. Raptors got a nice win here, and I will check back in with you on Sunday.